Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, boy. It's what you need, boy. We about to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letters spill slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in a snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circuit. That's why you're nervous, and you gotta right to be, cause if somebody would have done that shit to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history, you know what I'm saying, hey, my people's in a place, let's count it off, 1, 2,
tell me what
y'all
do, 3, 4, it's time for all of your together, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock, then your mind to the rhythm and just don't stop, 5, 6, get up inside the mix, 7, 8, no time to hesitate, so let's rock and roll, then you're rolling rock.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies, hard to swallow from the bitter taste. But that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and shot or relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I clap. Count 1, 2,
tell me what y'all
to do. 3, 4,
it's time for all your
suggestions.
Rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then your rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on acid tablets, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, a thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space. But solid as a rock shall not disintegrate. Thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate. Rail, yeah, ill, yeah. My people's in the play, tell me how to start.
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all yours. And yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to motivate. Yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock.
Welcome to another edition of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Miss Tracy L. Bell, of course, and I thank you for tuning in tonight, be it online or by phone for tonight's conversation. And tonight's conversation is, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? We have police brutality on the table, systematic racism, and the death of George Floyd. So where do we go from here? George Floyd was buried yesterday, and his services were streamed live on Channel 7 and CNN. And since his murder about 3 weeks ago, protests have erupted throughout our nation because people are fed up, you know, with thousands of men and women, black men and women, who have been murdered in this country and throughout history. Enough is enough is what I'm hearing. And aside from that, this kill was different, which is why I believe it received so much media attention, because we saw the life sucked out of a man and we heard his last cry as he begged for his life. And people are angry, and rightfully so. Therefore, the pulse and racial tone in America is on high as we make it known that racism is alive and well. And I've always said that. So because of that, we're dealing with pain, frustration, sadness, anger, and some even optimism. But the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer, these protests that it has touched off, it has really stirred deep emotions, and it has inspired calls for change. So therefore, we have to ask the question, what comes next? What comes next? Because some people try and deny racism. I mean, for those who, in my opinion, are racist, they are going to deny that it doesn't exist. Because, I mean, it doesn't have to be, you can deny it. You can deny it all you want. It's like one of my friends said, it's like the big elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about. But when some try and deny racism, when they try to deny the fact that it exists, or that systematic racism is real, it's because when you deny it, it means it doesn't have to be acknowledged. So therefore, it's denied. Because when you deny that it exists, then you don't have to acknowledge it. You don't have to say where you stand because you deny that it exists. So in that case, and in any case, the conversation becomes uncomfortable. But again, the conversation needs to be had because the ongoing incidents of systematic racism needs to be addressed and acknowledged in order for change to come. Change will not come without the acknowledgement of it. Systematic racism is on the front and in every aspect of black life. It's in banking, it's while you're banking, it's in housing, it's in driving, it's in walking, while jogging, while living an ordinary black life, while bird watching. Racism can be interjected at any time. And as I stated, and as I've stated in past shows, I'm tired of having these kinds of conversations, whether it's every year, every month, every other month. I'm tired of having these conversations. So Oprah addressed it last night, and ironically, I guarantee you, I promise you, our topic was discussed last week. Where do we go from here? And ironically, that was Oprah's topic last night. Where do we go from here? What comes next? What does change look like? Where do we start? I mean, I don't know. I guess one would be police accountability, criminal justice and prison reform. I mean, those are critical issues. I think that communities require community-based review boards, increased training and oversight, and the assurance of equal treatment for white and non-white offenders. Because a lot of you, like me, we know that this is not the case. For example, I know that I saw floating around Facebook the photo of when Dylann Roof was arrested. When he was arrested, you know, the cops took him in calmly. Hell, they even bought him McDonald's. That's how peaceful the arrest was. In fact, the policemen treated him as if he were their son. They took him to McDonald's. They took him peacefully. They had civil conversation with him. There was no scuffle. I don't even know if that boy was in handcuffs. And he murdered 9 people in a black church. He murdered them. It was considered a hate crime. But he was still arrested like a human being. They were extremely civil with him. And I think the difference is that black people, black and brown individuals, we are not seen as human. In fact, I think that sometimes when we're dealing with racism, they try and dehumanize us. Our black men are haunted, chased down, shot down, and killed with a knee to their neck, which was most recent, as we see on television. They show us being murdered. They show us being shot. But you'll never see that in any other nationality. If somebody white is shot or killed, the screen is going to be blurred out, or a sheet is going to be covering them. Now, mind you, when they started showing the video on television, yes, they had the video of George Floyd kind of blurred out on some stations, but other stations, no. You saw it point blank and out in the open, because they try and dehumanize us. They dehumanize us to the point where, and I think they think that we don't have feelings, that we don't feel, that we don't hurt. So it's like, let's treat them, let's give them the ultimate amount of pain, because they're not going to feel it. So that's one of the problems with racism. There's no regard for black life, just as there's no regard for our feelings. But the problems run far deeper. They say cutting to the very heart of inequalities, and that it has been a long part of the fabric in America, from systematic racism in housing and health care to education and voting rights. And we see it in health care. Look what happened with the coronavirus. They were saying that black and brown people were highly more likely to die due to our racial disparities, due to the differences in where we live and how we have health care and the coronavirus testing. Black and brown people were more likely to die due to underlying health issues, such as high blood pressure and diabetes and obesity. Those were some of the underlying heart disease that they stated, if you had that, you were more likely to die from the coronavirus. So racial discrimination is a structural problem, and that's what leaders are saying. It's not a patchwork of surface-level cracks and blemishes. It is a structural problem. Now, what I like is that the killing of George Floyd reached corporate America, because you had companies talking about it. You had companies doing Zoom meetings about it. You had white celebrities addressing it. Ellen dedicated her entire show, I think, last week to speaking to Bernice King and Congressman Lewis and others regarding race issues in this country. Because the only way to acknowledge it is to address it. That's the only way you're going to acknowledge it. Is you have to address it. When you don't want to address it, then you're a part of the problem. And, you know, I was talking to this friend of mine last night, and he was like, oh, a lot of these companies and organizations that's coming out speaking against it now, they're just doing so because they want to be on the right side of history. They're not doing it out of sincerity. They're doing it to be on the right side of history. Well, only God knows hearts. And when it's time to speak up to what you speak, then time will tell. Because as I said, it is not a patchwork of surface level cracks and blemishes. It is a structural problem. You know what? When I was talking to this friend of mine last night, he also stated that black people will never have wealth. They can be rich, but they'll never have wealth. He was like, wealth is what the owners of Walmart have. Wealth is what the Rothschilds have. Wealth is generational because they leave it to their generation. Their generations live off of their wealth. But black people won't have wealth, he said. They'll be rich, but they won't have wealth because we don't own any supermarkets. We don't own any Macy's or Hilton hotels because those are families of generational wealth, regardless to how they got it, but it's wealth. So white communities need to do a better job of speaking out against all forms of explicit and implicit bias, because of every nature of how we see each other, that's what has to be transformed. Because our foundations are cracked. We automatically see somebody black and we think, oh my God, they're dangerous. Oh my God, I feel threatened. Oh my God, they're just so combative. Oh my God, they resisted arrest. That's how we're approached. This is what I can't understand. It's like we're even approached as if we're inhuman. We're approached as if we're animalistic because that's how we are seen. We are seen. This is why I said the foundations are cracked. So when you think about the momentum of the last 2 weeks, you know, in order to translate it into action, I think black leaders say those with power, including business leaders who control jobs and political leaders who control budgets, they must commit to this change that we want to see. Because we don't just want it in words, but we want it in action. I just said that. You have to put your words into action. We had the NFL come out with a statement about how they denounce racism, but yet there was no apology to Colin Kaepernick, because he's the one who said, I'm kneeling because of racism. I'm kneeling because of the injustices and police brutalities in this country. He said, that's why I'm kneeling. So I think the NFL should have apologized to him first, because he's the one that got booted out of the NFL because of his stance. So it was only fair. It was only fair. Caller, you're on the air.
I was going to ask you, though, what do you think that should be done?
Well, if you keep hearing my dialogue, you'll hear what should be done. But being that you called in, what do you think should be done?
Well, I think that blacks as a whole, well, even in part, should educate their children. Because there are high demands for blacks and anybody else that has the skills that's what are in demand. And I have witnessed this myself. You know, I attend the National Society of Black Engineers organization started back in the 1970s to get more black into STEM fields.
Mm.
And every year they have a national convention. In 2019, they had 15,000 STEM students at the Cabot Center in Detroit. And you had a lot of corporations there that was hiring STEM students, like Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin hired over 400.
Wow.
And the two years before that in Pittsburgh and Kansas City, I believe it was, Northrop Grumman, which is headquartered out of Mississippi, hired 400 2 years in a row. Plus the others that was being hired by the hundreds of other corporations that was there.
Wow.
So, you never heard of that? I thought that would be all over the news.
Well, I mean, I've heard of Northrop Grumman, of course. I was affiliated with the company that did business with them. And the STEM cell, no, I did not hear that.
You didn't hear about all those
not.
Kids being hired. I'd be good. I'd be dap. Wonder why.
I wonder why. I guess it didn't get that much media attention. I don't know.
Well, you're absolutely right. They don't want that to be known. And then
so
you got some blacks.
So how do you think change should start? Where do you think it should start?
You should change. You should educate your young people. You know, there's a large population of Nigerians in this country. Not millions, but they have the highest educational attainment, and they have household income that surpasses white and Asians. How is it that they do this? Not only the ones that come here, but first and second generations, African period. Up there in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, you had the Somali community that had the African Development Center, and they fund bank, they fund homes and home mortgages and business loans, and they're a major business impact there in Minnesota. So the question is how are these people doing this, and you never hear nothing about them? They don't march doing none of that stuff.
Well, I mean, maybe it's because of where I'm located. Maybe it's not widely broadcast. I don't know.
Yeah, Houston.
But I.
Maryland.
Okay, so they are in the tri-state area. So, how do you think? Where do you think we should go from here? Call or tell us, because I am running out of time.
I think you should go. Like I say, educate your children and know the laws. People out there marching and demanding things, they already got the power to do. Those police departments in a community, you are the boss. You tell them what to do, not the other way around.
Do you believe the police department should be defunded?
No, that's not going to happen. What are you going to do? Well, no business is coming to your area then, and people are going to move.
Well, now, when they interviewed the congresswoman this morning, she said defunding is not about actually getting rid of police. It's about revamping the department, I guess, with people who mimic the communities that they live in, and taking the funding and putting it within a community, such as schools, different recreation centers, but not necessarily abolishing the police department altogether. So I think that the conversation needs to be had in order to be understood.
Well, in Minneapolis, that police department, you know, it's 18,000 across the country. They're all independent. There's no national police department. They can do whatever they want to. Now, you cannot hire just from within your community. Court cases already have said that. So they can do whatever they want to. They have the power to have their police officer wear lime green pants and pink shirts if they want to. That's their police department. But you know what the problem is that people apparently don't know it, and they don't take action. There's police departments around Ferguson that dissolved for different reason, and they came back as something else, something different. So people are asking
what
they already
got. We all know what happened in Ferguson. That's what Michael Brown was murdered.
I know Ferguson very well. Yeah, I know Ferguson very well. But see, blacks lived in Ferguson for decades because they fleed crime and things like that from North County, St. Louis. North City, St. Louis. And they've been in Ferguson for decades until that point in time, and a little bit shortly before, they start fleeing the area because of the makeup and the changes that we've seen with people moving in. And that's something that we have to admit. I don't hear that portion of society admitting about all the bad things that's been going in Chicago since Memorial Day weekend. 248 shootings, 40 deaths.
I heard. But I'm also hearing that people also think that those killings in Chicago are police involvement. They don't think that it's black on black crime or kids killing kids. They believe it's police involvement.
Well, defund the police and then maybe the shooting to stop, huh?
I don't know. But, caller, thank you so much for calling into the show, and we hope you continue to listen. You know, I mean, everyone is entitled to their opinion. I'm not completely for defunding police, but we have to see where it goes. We have to work for change, because that's the only way things are going to happen or things are going to be put into place, is that we have to work toward change. We have to hold political leaders accountable, because that's where change is going to start, in our communities. We're going to have to put pressure on them in order for this to be an equal opportunity, even if we separate. Maybe that's another consideration, separation. But as a nation, we've always struggled with explicit bias. What we have not dealt with is implicit bias. Bias, coming to terms with the fact that we all have bias. We do. That white privilege has got to be understood in a different light, because it does exist, and I have done a show on it. And for those of you who follow me, you know that I've done a show about white privilege. People look at it on an individual level, but when I'm talking about white privilege, I'm talking about it at a systematic level, at a structural level, which in turn colors every other aspect and experience of people's lives. Prime example, what happened to Amy Cooper, what she did in Central Park a couple of weeks ago. She exercised her white privilege. Why? Because she knew what would happen when she called the cops on a black man. So where do we go from here? We start with change, and change starts with the man in the mirror. And if that man in the mirror has to hold everyone in this community responsible, then that's what you do, because change cannot come without a revolution. Until next week, be well. Goodbye.
Book of Revelation, uh-huh. Chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore.
Preach, preacher.
For God shall wipe away,
yes, sir,
every tear from their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Get ready for the revolution.
Come on.
What you say? Come on.
Cause I'm down with Christ. Dog child, a new nation, and we still alright. Well, alright.